Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast, where we are in the Academy of Light, not the Black Cat House at the Stadium of Light, which is where I went initially on a drunken memory from last night. I wasn't even drunk last night, so I can't even use that as an excuse.
Just stupidity, yeah.
Well, we're here anyway, because we're speaking to the media team in Sunderland Football Club, which is Sam Lytle and Oscar Chamberlain. Glad to have you with us tonight, guys. Don't be so nervous. I don't know why you're so apprehensive about this.
Thanks for getting my name in first there.
It's just because I was looking at you, Sam, and I know you a little bit better, let's be honest. Nice little room, this, isn't it? The sound, Gareth is a tech. I nearly called you tech nonce there, Gareth. It's just on the mind at the moment, isn't it? You need to hold your microphone close to your mouth or it won't go well. You like the sound in this room, don't you, Gareth?
I just said it was sounding nice because usually we do it in the dining room, which is a very hard room. So a lot of bounce.
Right.
That's why
I'm guessing the room was designed like this, because this is where the manager gets interviewed, isn't it? Bringing back memories, this is. Yeah.
He gets interviewed.
You'll have to speak to
Sam. Sam's actually in the manager's seat right now.
I'm in the manager's seat.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if it was specifically designed.
Sam is Wise Men Say alumni in a way. Isn't that right?
It's nice to see you've been proved as the years have gone on.
Yeah, how many years ago was that? About 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, not that long ago. We've only been doing it 5.5 years. Yeah. When was that?
It's got, because
it was at the
5 years ago, I was 19, so.
Yeah, when we did the stuff with, when we used the uni facilities, we got involved with Sports Bite and Spark and stuff like that.
Using our facilities, get the students involved.
I mean, let's be honest, we wouldn't have bothered with them if we didn't have to, and you know, that's why they were on, so.
Sam, tell our listeners who might not know your story, because they'll hear the accent.
I'm looking forward to seeing this as well, because I've never heard it either. Go on, tell us your story, Sam. The moment we've all been waiting for.
The listeners will hear your accent and not realise that you're actually a Sunderland fan and always have been.
So are we going to do this about Oscar as well?
I'll ask Oscar his own story. I don't think he's a Sunderland fan like you, though, initially, anyway.
My granddad's from the North East originally, so growing up as a kid, I was always brought up to the Sunderland games. And, yeah, so it started really young. I got the opportunity to come to university up here, so did 3 years at Sunderland University, and then I was fortunate enough to get offered a job in the club's media team. So I've been here this is my fourth season now.
Is that already? That's gone quickly,
yeah,
hasn't it?
So it's been three pretty difficult seasons.
Well, it was fine before you got here.
Is there a correlation there?
We've had three seasons out of the way now. The good times are starting to come again, aren't they?
I don't know if you want to tell people your story, Oscar, how you ended up in Sunderland. Just working through the media clubs?
Yeah, it was just through work, really. When I left uni, I went to West Ham for a few months. And then after a couple of months there, I went to Barnet. And I was there for a year and a half. I got relegated there as well, so maybe I'm the problem.
Richard Minnie, I'll come in from the Sunderland Echo, said, ask Oscar about his Barnet days and Edgar Davids.
Oh, they were interesting. He wasn't the easiest manager I've ever had to deal with. I think he got sent off 4 times in his last 7 games.
As a manager?
As player manager.
Oh, right.
And he was number one as well. But he wouldn't let the striker have number 10, because he wanted to check that he could have number one through league rules before he signed up. And if he wasn't going to have number one, he was going to have number 10. Our goalkeeper, Graham Stack at the time, was delighted about that, as I'm sure you can imagine. And it was a bit like that every day, to be honest, but it was a... it was sort of good to get started and learn the trade. And then I came up here in 2014, so I missed the cup final and the Great Escape.
Did you?
And then it was all.
It
sort
seems
of,
like you've been around longer than that, have you not?
Well, that probably says it all, doesn't it? I think that probably tells the story for me of my time at Sunderland. But no, it's been good. It's been, like Sam said, it's been a hard couple of seasons for everybody, I think, associated with the club. But I think everything's now back on an even footing, and like you guys, we're loving the current season.
Well, we'll get into that. What I love is just the power we've got there, Oscar. I should have done it ages ago, but I just tweeted out before we started, asking our listeners if they had any questions for the media team, and then Oscar's retweeted from the official club account, and that's power for you, that, isn't it?
Well, it is power.
Can make a lot of things happen.
I know, that was probably my first mistake I've made, but it'll probably be the first of many.
That's just something you must just take in your grasp as well, haven't that power? Have you both got access to the club Twitter account?
Yeah.
How hard was it in the last few seasons? So, I mean, we'll come on to this season and the change and the whole place and everything. But how hard was it not to reply to the torrent of abuse you'd constantly... Let's be fair. I hope the person whoever decided it would be a good idea to do the stuff you were doing before this season is still at the club. I don't know if they are. But kind of, did you feel a bit thrown under the bus? Like you were like, tweet this out that, you know, he didn't come in to say hello, I was going to throw it. Michael Protest on this day scored his first goal for Sunderland or something like that and put that out when we've just been like beaten 4-0 or something like that, and you must, as you press that button, you must know like winter is coming.
to be honest, it got so bad, we did used to sit there and say, here we go, you press the button and then it'd go like that. Yeah, it'd be like lining up for a firing squad. But to be honest, it was a scenario whereby you were almost damned if you did and damned if you didn't, and whatever you did, you got abuse for it, because there's only a certain amount you can affect with if everything on the pitch isn't going very well. So it was tough. We probably made some mistakes as well, to be honest, not judging the tone as well as we could have. I know I put things out when...
Is there an example of that springs to mind?
Not off the top of my head. I've probably tried to black them out, but I think it was just... It was in... Jeremy, I challenge anybody to find... And it's not just us that do the media stuff. There's a whole team of other people who are far too modest to come and do something like this. But I challenge anybody to find a media department who have had a harder job than we have over the past few years.
What is the strategy that goes into stuff like social? You know, I know the strategy in social media from a marketing perspective, but I mean in terms of just engagement and where you want to try and put positive stuff in.
Especially this season, there's the strategy is to try and be light-hearted, quite cheeky, just have quite a good time, like a real sort of a shift where we're just trying to create a really good culture, and
it's coming across. You can tell you guys having fun together. Somebody who reads your social media feed and stuff, it is coming across.
We sit there, you know, working, have a good time doing it, don't we? And we're trying to just create this whole idea of like there's a human element behind the social media. We're a club account, we're an official brand, if you like, but there's two people doing it. Like I say, I use the word human. We are human beings at the end of the day, so there's feelings in that, you know what I mean? And like it comes.
Oscar disagrees with you, I think.
Oscar might disagree with me, but just laugh,
he just makes me laugh. Look at him.
I suppose what I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, there's people behind it doing it. So obviously you have a laugh, you have a joke.
You don't want to seem like it's automated.
No, we want that to come across. And on the flip side, we want to show a bit of heart and a bit of our personalities. So for example, we put something out a few weeks ago about the men's mental health, and someone commented on it saying, like, talking about the admin, this is one of the best things they put out. But take away the admin side of things, that's what we want people to realise that it's us putting it out and not the club.
I think it's easier to criticise when there isn't a personality behind it. If it's just almost like an RSS feed and it just looks like just corporate rubbish and it doesn't have a personality behind it, it's very easy to attack that. But I think if people know there's a human side behind it, there is a person doing it, it's their job, it's something they're passionate about, I think they take I'd like to think that, I mean, me and Sam both use Twitter quite a lot. There's been times in the past where people that are no longer at the club didn't want us to be on it. They didn't want us to be on it saying where we worked. But by doing that, I think that maybe somebody who'd tell us to piss off might think, oh, hang on, that's Oscar and Sam or whoever else is doing it. And they might think twice about it a little bit.
So previously, it did always come across like it was the club. It was quite formal, wasn't it? Up until perhaps even, maybe last season, but certainly until this season.
I think there's probably, not just at this football club, but a lot of football clubs, especially in the Premier League, you're so under the microscope that almost one wrong step can be blown so far out of proportion. But I think people often see a club tweet as almost a club statement. Mm. I think that's what we've tried to move away from, that look, this is the, it's for the fans essentially, and it's for our fans, and it's got to represent that. And if we're just churning out propaganda every single day, I mean, the fans aren't stupid. They're gonna see through it and get quite agitated by it.
Well, I think that's, I think over the last few years, I think there has been a little bit of an underlying feeling that, and I think we're both aware that the people who are putting this stuff out, it's a directive, isn't it? Whereas now it feels quite the opposite. It feels like you've been kind of given a bit of free rein, say, you know, this is your job, this is what you're good at, off you go and do it. And it definitely comes across. I mean, it must be so difficult when you're getting, you know, pelters every single day.
Call it nuns.
Sorry about that. I mean, what is the work? Can you, is there an insult where you got one and you actually sort of laughed or went like, yeah, fair enough? Or
quite a lot of them.
Yeah,
I think you've got to, God, you've got to find humour in it. If you don't, you just go home and you'd cry your eyes out, wouldn't you? I mean, you've got to take it with a pinch of salt. But I do like it when people get creative. It's very easy just to tell us to F off. But if someone genuinely puts a bit of work into it, I got a lot of time for that.
Did Bristol City change things? Because unless I'm mistaken, were they the first club who got their players to do those goal celebrations? Or they were the most creative?
Yeah, like last season, when we got relegated from the Premier League, we all sort of sat down, had a look at what other clubs were doing, and we sort of said we wanted to try and be the best in the Championship. We looked at what Aston Villa had done, and Aston Villa had been pretty good, really, with their social media stuff. And obviously, Bristol City came out with those player celebrations, I mean, they are great, but in terms of what they do on a sort of day-to-day, 9-to-5 type thing, it's pretty along the line, isn't it, really?
Pretty what?
Pretty along the line. It's just pretty...
Not very good.
Well, it's just pretty.
He's digging
tame.
Out Bristol. We'll tag
keep
Bristol.
Keep digging. But then we want a job there anytime soon.
No, so in terms of like when you look at like, I suppose when you other clubs we've tried looking at. I mean, I know the obvious ones like Roma, their English feed. I mean that accounts
mental.
Yeah, it's the best.
I'd love to know if the people sat in Rome that do their actual social media have any idea what they're doing.
Well, no, it's pretty. Pretty incredible.
Everybody's going to listening now. Going to go on that account.
I've never seen that.
It's the odd thing. I don't think I follow it though.
They did were they the ones who did the first like real player announcement video with like the helicopters and like people like being dropped like SAS people coming through the ceiling and all that kind of stuff. Because that was how easy to get drawn into that kind of.
Southampton did a really good one of those.
Yeah,
it was just one of those. The youth team player signed a 1-year extension or something.
No,
it
was Stuart Taylor. It was a keeper. It? Yeah, and he was like signed a one-year extension. Like but the thing is, it's like that. They kind of, it was a bit meta, wasn't it? There must come a time where you look at something. Well, we could do that, but then it's like,
I think it had its day, didn't it? The player announcements, and now everyone's kind of moved on from it.
Do you think that the fact that we're playing well this season helps as well? Obviously,
massive. It's the main thing behind everything, because if we'd have put out what we have this season and we were bottom of the league, I'd probably be at the job centre now talking to a recruiter rather than be talking to you.
You'd be at Bristol City.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I am a recruiter in a way. if you ever want to come back to uni, we'll have a chat. Got loads of stupid questions here.
I mean, to be fair, Sam does most of the stuff on social, so... I mean, you all have no experience,
mate.
Yeah, it's all Sam's
fault. I didn't think you were like that funny, you know, to be honest.
results have definitely helped you, I think, with the social media side.
No, like, just like little bits, really. I mean, we did some basic stats, like sort of some stat analysis a few weeks ago, and sort of basic our average retweets a day had gone up. Well, gone up from about 200 and something to 600 odd. Likes had doubled every day, so gone from about 2,000 to 4,000. So just like, just in the space of a few months, people are starting to pick up on it, and it's just a few changes, but it's been well received. But it's just the start of it. It's the hopefully just the very very start. And
Jack Hatton's saying, why have you turned our club's Twitter feed into Fiat 500? Don't know what that means. Yeah.
I do know what it means. Yeah. It means eyebrows. That's what he means. What I would term as eyebrows.
What does eyebrows mean?
Just like lasses with eyebrows, like,
you know, those ridiculous tweets, like saying get like 60,000 likes
and with a bit of Scottish accent in.
Got no idea what any of you are talking about.
Yeah. No, it's fuming.
You never heard that before.
If you had 500 Twitter, yeah. You know, they're that
blocking. Job done. He won't. See you, mate. All the best.
Joseph Burton, why did you have to cancel the full 90-minute video option this season?
I'll let you take this one, Sam.
No, it wasn't my decision. No.
So Oscar made a
sale. To be honest, I can't even remember. No. There is a reason why we're not doing it, and it is a very good reason. But off the top of it, I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Who would sit and watch the whole game again?
The full 90 was...
It was good, and it seems like a really simple thing to do, but it's actually really complicated because when you're in the Premier League, there's just a feed sent down and anybody can access that feed. If we wanted to do it, we'd have to take... You almost have to have a truck almost to go and do it. Or you have to have somebody that sits there and cuts it all. And I mean, you did it at Derby County last season. The feed went down at Derby County last season, and Sam sat until 5 o'clock in the morning doing it, just waiting for it to export.
After we won 4-1,
it then said export failed, and he had to sit up for another 3 hours.
The Derby game was probably like a tiny, was he high in a really disappointing season, but like that game alone was a nightmare for me. My laptop broke my laptop broke halfway through the game, and then obviously I had to obviously do the full 90 at the end of it. Realised that when I got home that the game hadn't recorded all of the game, so I only had about 45 minutes, and then I had to download the other 45, and God, it took 4 hours to download.
Did you put the flexi time in?
And yes, but then that's the thing. The full 90 was a good thing to do, but it was a real time.
As everybody knows, there's obviously. There was people that left in the summer. The resources aren't as great this season as they have been in previous years. So it was one of them things where you have to focus on the things you almost have to do rather than a nice to do. But I think on the whole, the video content, we've got two video editors, and the stuff they do is absolutely brilliant. And there's other people behind sort of, do you know what I mean, us here talking today. And everyone works, I mean, ridiculous hours, don't they? But when you're winning games, it's easy. It's like the fans, they set off at 3 o'clock in the morning the other day, I think, to go to an away game. But I bet they didn't feel tired when they got home. They probably felt a little hungover. But when you're winning games, it's worth the effort.
When the new owners come in, were you like all the other fans where once they sat you down and told you what their plans were and stuff, that you began to feel positive straight away and optimistic straight away?
Yeah, I mean,
how did some of those conversations go?
Well, I obviously, we were involved in the press conference, so that was pretty much the first time we actually got to hear him talk, wasn't it? And from just like obviously from a fan point of view, it was exactly what we wanted to be hearing, you know. And from my point of view, obviously we were all just really hopeful that the tide would turn a little bit, really. And then I went on holiday, didn't I?
Yeah, and then Sam went on holiday for 3.5 weeks and went all the best. I'll see you in July.
Oscar, I know you do some when we sign a player and you do that initial interview with them.
They're boring, aren't they?
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to be trying to be nice about it. How do you how do you think about being creative for those? Because you can't, you know, you're working for the club, so there's only so many certain, there's only certain kind of question you can ask, isn't there?
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can get out of that player.
To be honest, like, I think that if you want to get, if you want to get good content from a player, it's about getting to know them. I think that's been the great thing about this year, is that the club have really focused on bringing in the right type of player for the club. And I'm sure you can tell that as fans. There's a lot of personalities in that dressing room, and it's been very easy for us just to take advantage of that, stick a camera in front of them, or do an interview with them, and they give you exactly what you want. But, you know, I mean, when you usually sit down with a player and they sign, they've usually had a long drive, a long day sat around in the academy waiting for forms to go back and forth, medical stuff like that. So the last thing they want to do is sit and talk to me. That's probably the last thing they want to do most days, to be honest. But it's hard to get stuff out of them. But at the same time, it's a player interview. I think if you look at what most clubs are doing, it's pretty similar. I think you've almost just got to get it out of the way, get to know them after that point, and then try and get their personality across after that.
I'm guessing some easier to work with than others. Rob Sinclair's asking who, you're not going to say who, the current squad are hard, difficult to work with, you understand that, but some are more receptive to it, I guess. Luke O'Nine seems like he's natural at this. He's coming across really well on social media, and I think this maybe sums up the day and age, the modern situation that we're in now, where when he struggled at the start of the season, I think he was probably afforded a little bit more time because he comes across so likeable, and that comes through from social media first and foremost. So it's an important tool, isn't it, now?
Yeah,
let's get that right.
I think it's like it's almost the most important way a club engages now, and with the fans, I think it sets the tone for everything. Obviously, there's much more important things that people will go out and do. I mean, Charlie and Stuart coming and doing this sort of thing with you is absolutely priceless. And I know the gaffer's done stuff as well. But it's almost your daily connection on the ground, social media. Yeah. And when players buy into that, it's fantastic. I mean, one of the players who was great at that when he first got here was Lamine. He took a really active interest in sort of getting to know the club and the area, didn't he? And you guys will have seen his social media at the time. He was probably the first player we've had that's done that. But now you've got people like Max doing it. You've got people like Luke doing it. And I think you're
Lyndon
right. I think,
as well.
Yeah, Lyndon, George. I think it does. It's the same with what we're saying. If you can see a personality behind something, then you're always going to give people a little more leeway.
You just said that it's helpful when people engage with people like us. Now, before the new owners come, there was no way we would have got Jack Ross on a podcast.
Well,
absolutely no way. So that must be a massive change for you as well. Like you say, I think it goes back to some of the expectations when you're in the Premier League, and when we aren't that anymore. But you would like to think that it's there to stay from now. Well, certainly with these guys.
That's what obviously spoke to Charlie the other night in the Wee Chief before the Barnsley game. We were just talking about that exact point. You know, it's very. It's easy. Is it easy to do it here? You know, it's kind of saying, you know, it's all right in League One, giving people the opportunities that you're given and having that attitude. But as you go back up the leagues, potentially, hopefully, do you slip back into the old ways? And he was adamant that that wouldn't happen. And he was kind of saying, you know, this is the way it has to be, regardless of whatever division you're in, who's in charge of the club, whoever's working at the club, it has to be this way. And, you know, you'd hope that would happen, you know. But, yeah, it's, you know, we were talking just outside, me and Sam, about the change. And I was kind of saying it doesn't seem like there's any boundaries anymore, apart from the ones you put in place. You know, yourself, you know, it's that having respect for the people at the club, respect for the players, respect. They clearly respect you guys because you can see that, I would say, in the videos and stuff like that. Sam's pulling the face.
Yeah. Do they respect you, Oscar?
Who?
The players?
No, probably not. I'm probably the least respected person at the football club on all levels.
Yeah, but the point is, if they're happy to take the mick out of you,
yeah,
it shows that they're respecting you.
Yeah,
if they just ignored you, blank you, then you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, there's a balance, because you've got to be, the stuff we do on games and stuff, I think, personally, has got to be the truth. So if we play badly, you've got to call a spade, we've played badly, and that's... we've been given the license to do that now, whereas in the past, I mean, it was hard last year because, and the year before as well, because I mean, let's not beat around the bush. It was so bad and so hard, and it wasn't just like you were a football club that lost once every couple of weeks. We were a football club that was losing every week. So at what point do you then go, you can't just keep doing this. You've got to take some... There does have to be some kind of party line. But now there's... The party line has moved, hasn't it? And you can sort of... You can't... With the players, there's a balance to that as well, because if you write a match report and say, well, he was rubbish, well, you've got to go and see him on Monday. And then you've got to go, can you dress up as Father Christmas and do this funny thing around the training ground? Do you know what I mean? So you're right, they need to... I'd say it's more important that you're not seen as a nuisance. I think, like, a lot of times at clubs I've worked for in the past, it's never been the case at this one. And everybody, especially within the media department, takes a real active sort of role in getting to know the players and saying, look, there's stuff you want to do on social media, so we can support you with that. Whereas at other clubs, it's very much a staff talk to players when they need something from them. And if you only ever speak to somebody when you want something from them, they're not going to be very receptive. Mm. But, I mean, we're based down here now, which has been massive for us, because you just become part of the furniture and they see you on a daily basis.
At the academy, you mean?
Yeah.
So you weren't?
Yeah, Black Cat. We were previously at Black Cat House. So.
Yeah, I knew there was a reason I went there.
That wasn't the reason.
So it's all our fault, yeah. But yeah, I think it's just, they need to be comfortable around you. But at the same time, they need to know that you've got their back and you've got their best interests at heart. So, but like Sam said before, we're very lucky to have a squad that are always up for doing things and always want to get involved.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did they ever come to you with ideas for stuff?
Yeah, regularly, yeah.
how many of them do you want to do? How many of them are good?
Quite a lot.
The Luke 09 sort of rugby tackle celebration, the video that we put out on the Sunday of him, and it was like the music over the top of it.
Mm.
That was him who sent the music over. And he sent over another track as well. So like that was he was the one that instigated us doing that.
Yeah. There was a
thank you for that, Sam.
I know, but it was a good clip, you know. And
But Max Power, for example, there he met a kid, and he probably wouldn't like me to say this because he this isn't the reason he did it for. But a couple of weeks, well, probably a month ago, Max met a kid at the game, and you know what he's like. He gets chatting to him, and he was like, oh, school stuff like that. And Max, and he, the kid said, oh, I don't like school. I'm getting bullied. So Max straight away got his mum's contact details, so it came to me and said, I want to bring him in to the training ground for the day. I want him to, do you know what I mean? I want to cheer him up. So I arranged that. I mean, but did very little in terms of coming up with the idea and sorting out. The kid arrived in the morning. Max collected him and his mum, took him out to training, let him watch, got him involved in the shooting drills at the end of the training, and then all the players sat and had lunch with him. And stuff like that happens. I mean, that's happened throughout our time at the club, hasn't it? I mean, I know the players from past seasons have got a lot of stick, but that's just one example of the stuff that they quite often come to us with. They don't usually come to us with the funny stuff and taking the mickey, or, unless it's about each other, which they love. But a lot of the time when they do come to us with stuff, it's about sort of trying to make a difference. But a lot of the time they don't want to shout about it, which is nice because it shows they're doing it for the right reasons.
That's one good thing that we're all finding ourselves again now as a club, I think, don't we, with stuff like that. And maybe League One's allowed us to attract that kind of player. A couple of the guys in the media are tweeting in, as you've already seen, a couple of them, Oscar, Nick Barnes. Yeah. I wanted to ask you your views on the under 21s Checkatrade Trophy.
Well, this was actually quite a debate in the before the press conference, because they were all sat here about 2 hours ago. And I walked into an argument, well, a heated debate, shall we say.
Between Nick and somebody.
Yeah, between Nick. It wasn't James. Was it? He actually remained very coy and observed, yeah. It was between Nick and Paul Fraser. And Paul Fraser had said that he hoped that, and I'm paraphrasing here, and this might actually, I only overheard the conversation before foolishly wading into it. He'd said that it would be great if Sunderland got Newcastle under 21s in the Checkatrade Trophy final. Now, Barnsley obviously was, being Barnsley in his tweed, was very much against this idea and thought that under 21 teams should be thrown out of the competition and never seen again.
He's an Exeter fan, so he's...
Exactly, yeah.
I agree with him.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, if you look at attendances around the competition, fans of obviously other clubs have boycotted it. So I kind of foolishly thought, I'll have an opinion. And was then shouted at by Barnsley as Jack Ross made his way out the corridor and wondered what the hell was going on. But I basically just said that it would be. I wouldn't want to play them in the final, and I wouldn't want to play an under 21 team in the final should we get there. Because I think if Sunderland were to get to that final and play a team like Portsmouth, it's not like the FA Cup where you get a really poor allocation of tickets for fans. You basically get all the tickets, so it would be a phenomenal atmosphere. And I think you'd lose a bit of that if we played an under 21 team. But at the same time, I said it would be interesting if we played them in the knockout stages, but that wasn't a view shared by anybody else.
It's not a view shared by me either.
No, I don't want to play.
We can't win in that situation. Yeah, it's a no-win situation for us. Because if we win the game, people say, well, you're playing under 21s, of course you should be winning the game. And then if you lose, you're the laughing stock.
Oh,
so
that'd be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I agreed. And I did try and agree that I agreed with that, but Barnsley wouldn't let me because he was on his tirade. So that was the end of that. I know.
Somebody must have said something horrible to him.
I know, he must have had a bad day.
Richard Manier again, who really does all the work for the programme out of the two of you?
That's a good question.
I'll let Sam take this one.
No, Oscar does the majority of it, don't you?
Yeah, I'll let you.
I mean, a lot of it is contributors.
Yeah, I liaise with them though.
Oscar liaises.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a column in it?
No.
Oh, well, this is awkward. They're the only ones that don't.
It's all right. It's fine.
Don't give it. We know.
It's all right.
We struggle to fulfil the columns that we write for people now anyway.
If we have one of
them.
We
often get emails sort of saying, where's this that you promised us and stuff. Don't give us any more. Like,
we'll come do some audio stuff with you.
Yeah, we'll do audio stuff.
Maybe
we
could make it like a birthday card where you open it and you two start talking.
Oh, no. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that on a birthday, especially. Jesus.
Two wise men says.
Giles Mooney is saying, ask if you're upset. Oh, I don't know who his obsession with Red Sox is. A Methven Red Sox thing?
Boston.
Yeah.
Methven Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, something to do with Methven Red Sox. I don't know. Is that what that is?
No. Methven wears Red Sox. Yeah. But the Boston Red Sox are a baseball team, aren't they?
Yeah. So I don't understand that. I thought that means
his obsession with Red Sox is secretly a Methven Red Sox thing. It's not. No, I actually liked the Boston Red Sox well before he arrived. I'm quite a big baseball fan, which will bore you all to tears, I imagine, and you'll probably just call it Rounders. So
I've never watched a game of baseball in my life.
Yeah. So it's one of my favourite sports. So I'm quite often tweeting about it. But I've noticed that every time I do, I lose a couple of followers. So. If results go sideways and everybody knows that it's us doing the social media, I'll just keep tweeting about baseball and then hopefully I won't get any stick.
When Richard Benin asked that earlier question to Oscar about your Barnard days and Edgar Davids, I think that's your last putting an emoji on, saying that she's bored by that. And or.
I think she's just bored by me, to be perfectly honest.
Just trying to stitch her up.
Yeah, I'll...
You'll what?
Thanks very much, Kerry. I won't do anything. She's the boss.
Is anything more offensive than double denim, somebody's asking? Have any players got really bad dress sense? You can throw under a bus?
Players haven't, but Sam's is a bit suspect sometimes. Sam dressed... Sam. I mean, if you'll notice, from back when he did this podcast before,
right, yeah,
the hair's started to change.
It's not as severe.
It's not as severe.
It's half well.
Severe is a good word as well.
To be fair...
So he's gone from looking like Paul Weller to an elf, I always think.
Brilliant.
Well, it is Christmas.
What?
I didn't realise you were being festive, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you off.
Connor O'Neill's asking how many pints it takes for you to get bladdered.
About 2.5. Me and Sam don't drink, do we?
Do you not?
No.
You're not
anymore. Well, not occasionally, anymore. Occasionally, but not anymore.
Is that because you're in charge of the club's Twitter account?
Oh, well, actually...
You've never been tempted, being drunk and being tempted just to, like...
I actually lost my phone when I worked for West Ham, and it didn't have a passcode on it, and it had the club's Twitter account on it. No, nothing happened, but it was a... You know that feeling when you get really hot and nervous? I had that for about 3 days before it eventually turned up.
You must have changed the password of the Twitter account, and then it would have solved the problem.
I'm not that intelligent. I was in too much of a panic.
Felix would get drunk and like
Karen Brady come down and like Newcastle smash your face in.
Tweet Newcastle something, I hate you, or something like that.
Well, the enjoyable one this season was the where you tagged all the people in and posted pictures of themselves at the Newcastle, in the Sunderland end, all the Newcastle fans. Who was that who did that one?
Yeah, that was me.
Oscar can have that one.
Yeah, that was me, that one. It was... I sat there with it for about half an hour staring at my screen thinking, I wonder whether this is a good idea or not. And then I thought I'd come back to it later on and accidentally press tweet where I'd had the mouse hovered over it and it was too late. So, but I think people get too hung up on things like that. It's only a bit of fun. And that, for me, that's what social media needs to be. And it needs to be fun for our fans. I think in the past we've looked at replies to certain tweets and people saying, oh, this is rubbish, this, that and the other. But if you actually break down our fans, like especially this season, that give it stick, there's more of them that think it's good than bad. So I think so. If you get that with social media, you're winning. And I think clubs have a tendency to not do things because they'll think, oh, 20 people have replied to this and they don't like it. But if you actually look how many of them support your club, it's usually not many. And I think most fans want to see their club having fun and you know, after the last few years, I think we should be enjoying it. And
Twitter's becoming a place that's not as fun anymore, generally, anyway, as it used to be. So it's good to keep that lightheartedness, isn't it, as well? It's coming across, so I think, isn't it? How's old mate Proctor doing? He doesn't do anything with you a lot now, just all coaching? Because he had a bit of a spell.
He got his foot in the door with us.
He's...
Custard pie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I texted him the other day, he didn't reply.
Well, so he said, I just seen him outside and he said he didn't want to come and speak to you. Like.
Yeah.
He's obviously upset.
Plus 4-4 number it was.
Well, I've never scored 2 on goals in a game, so you know what I mean.
I'll tell you what,
gets that, Gareth.
I haven't
even. The belt,
he'd not be listening, so it doesn't matter.
I'd take scoring any goals, even if they're own goals. Just get me on that pitch.
He looked quite handy, didn't he, in that video that they put the. Was it like a soccer aid thing or something? Not soccer aid, what do you call it? When you play on the pitch. They posted the video. He looked quite handy. Could have probably.
No, they didn't post the video. He posted a video.
how many people see this goal?
It was a nice chip. On the right hand side.
Little spoon.
How many times have you seen that goal?
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah, but then he balanced it out by the video of him kicking the ball off his own face.
Oh, yeah, that was Luke 09 filmed that as well.
Yeah.
That video this season.
Yeah, and do you know when they did that as well? When I was on holiday with no 4G, I came back to the hotel with Kerry, who will probably have been sick of the social media side of things then as well, because I was bringing it up on holiday. But I came back into my hotel room, lovely day out, lovely day in Lake Garda, very nice and relaxed, chilled. Signs on to Wi-Fi. Beep, 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 beep. I thought, oh my God, what is this? And he's not even put it on his Twitter account, he's put it on the club's. I thought, well, thanks very much, Sam. Thanks very much. I got my own back, though, didn't I, on Luke?
You got your own back on
Luke. Yeah, that was sensational. That old
it was,
bloke.
I tell you what.
Which
you
one?
Could,
which one?
The where he, the old bloke says, you can make it one day.
If you could have seen my face as that unfolded in front of me, knowing what he'd done to me when I was on holiday, it was amazing. I've never felt so good in my entire life. I've never felt so good.
It's very much this is the joy while it lasts, isn't it? Because we're having a good season. And like you say, you've got the licence to do all this now. You're just going to keep having fun for the rest of the season. Is that the plan?
Yeah, I think it's much can continue now, hopefully. Like I say, all providing results go well. But hopefully, like the whole tone of social media will, regardless, even if results go a little bit south, if you like, just hopefully the people will buy into the fact that we're... It's even though it's a club message, there's two people doing it, and it's like a, like I say,
very keen to put this person, know, human touch across. It's, like Sam, it's almost like you haven't got as thick skin as you're trying to make.
We're trying to create this like SAFC admin thing.
He's ran like that, sobbing before.
I know.
They told me to piss off.
There's been a few nights, but no, like I said, with this whole SAFC admin thing, that's like what we're trying to create, so people realise that it's not so much a club message all the time, and we are, like I say, trying to have fun.
The acid test for it will ultimately be when we're not winning every week.
Yeah.
And that won't just be an acid test for us, that'll be to the fans that have hopefully bought into it this season. But there's no doubt that our job is infinitely easier on all fronts, not just with social media, when the team are winning games. And you've just got to judge it right. There'll be times when we do, and I imagine there'll be times when we don't. But I think the important thing is just to not take it too seriously. Everybody, from when people do get annoyed, it's important not to get too upset by it. I don't want Sam banging on my door at 4 o'clock in the morning again, crying his eyes out.
I'm looking forward to Accrington on.
Well, I was going to say, what we should do before we get into that, because I was thinking that I was going to do a nice little segue in there, but now you've ruined it, so thanks. But what we'll do now is,
we can edit some of this out though, can't we? Because I'll be texting.
Can never be bothered to do it.
I'll be texting you in half an hour. Going, take that bit out. Take that bit out.
It'll be too late. It'll be gone.
Great.
It'll be gone.
P45 incoming.
Yeah, we have got some stuff about the game. We haven't done any talking about the match this week. We've done lots of things, but none of it about the football. Speaking about taking yourself too seriously, that was the thing, and humour. He is Tom Walsh with a delightful away guide to Accrington Stanley.
Who's Tom Walsh?
This is the big one. It's the game where you've been frantically scrabbling around, asking anyone you know, friends, families, well-wishers, dogs, cats, people you don't even like. Do you have an Accrington spare? Do you know of anyone who Accrington spare? Oh Lord, won't somebody please give me an Accrington spare? I want to spend an afternoon in December stood on a terrace with no roof in the pouring Lancashire rain. Well, Accrington Stanley, who are they? Exactly. They're the football club that will just never die. The football club that was bodied by a milk advert in the 1980s. And now they're grown up, waiting their biggest match in potentially their history. It's going to be a packed day at the Wham Stadium. Yes, George Michael's Wham Stadium. And John Coleman has got Stanley from the depths of footballing nomadity into League One to play our such handsome selves. But what do you need to know about your day out in Accrington? Well, there's not much of a car park there, so you're going to have to do with finding street parking. Oh, would you like to take the train to this game? Think again, my friend, because Northern, for the 19th Saturday in a row, have got a rail strike. But I have got a solution for you. You just hop on the train to Manchester, and you then take the X41 from Chorlton Bus Station. Chorlton Street bus station, may I add, all the way to Accrington, passing through the Lancashire Valleys. And once you alight in Accrington, have I got a place for you? Or should I say, Accrington Stanley have a place for you? Because the good people at Stanley have put on what they call the Stanley Fan Zone marquee outside the ground, which provides free entertainment from the beer rats. Beer rats, beer cats. It's something like that. And with pints at just £2, where else could you go? There are a few others though. The Crown on Whalley Road, just opposite the stadium, it's not a bad shout. Whereas the Queen's Hotel and the Park Hotel are also an excellent shout. Don't forget, there's also a very cheap Wetherspoons there. And for those of you that want to extend this festival of fun in Accrington, well, you can go to Victoria Market Hall and see everything there is to see about this delightful Lancashire town. Won't somebody just please give me an Accrington Stanley ticket? Don't worry, I already have one.
We can start again now.
Okay. So, just quickly then to finish up. Accrington Stanley on Saturday. What's it like going to some of these grounds? When you've started for the club, you go to Old Trafford and you go to Anfield, who have all these amazing facilities where they're fully equipped for the media team. I mean, even when I went and did Huddersfield games last season, I noticed the difference in sort of what they were lacking in comparison to Stadium of Light, St James's Park. And that's a Premier League club.
Sam obviously comes from a Premier League background where...
Well, my first away game was Old Trafford, so...
Yeah, so...
Much better does it really than that.
So I think he's missing his prawn sandwiches a bit. We often have to stop off at services and get him a Waitrose or an M&S just to make sure he's comfortable before the game.
Free coffee with your Waitrose card.
Yeah, he's always keen to remind us of that. Some of the grounds I went to when I worked for Barnet, League 2 was tough. But when we went down to the conference, and we're going places like Braintree Town and Elfrham, there was grounds where I didn't even have a desk. I just had to sit on my lap and sit with a laptop on my lap and type away. So for me, I've got no problem with that. I love it. I think I'm not sure I'd love it so much if we weren't winning and we were cold and miserable. And I'm not sure I'd love it so much if we didn't take so many fans, but there's just always such a good atmosphere when we go away from home. I mean, I think Sam agrees. We probably prefer away games to home games, and
every fan does.
The atmosphere at the stadium alike has been great this season. It looks, I mean, we walked out on Tuesday night and there was no one there, and it was the first time we'd seen the new seats under the light at night, and it was just it was amazing, wasn't it? And then the coaching staff came out as well. And said exactly the same thing, and we all just stood there staring. We probably looked a bit stupid if anyone was watching.
There is something about the stadium of light when it's empty, mind. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm not that I'm wandering around lots of football grounds all the time, but like when you do get to go out there,
yeah,
when
it's got a photo collection.
Yeah, it is. There's something about the place, you know.
It's got a real presence.
Yeah, you'd imagine when you come out the tunnel, it feels so. Although it's a big, when you're in the stand, it's a big stand. It doesn't feel that big when you look at it, but you can imagine all those people as you come out like for a massive game.
It must be amazing.
You know, privileged to have that feeling.
What's been the high point for both of you then to finish up on since you've been working for the club, a game or a situation? You just missed the cup final, you said, so that would have been an obvious one.
The escape on the Big Sam was really good that night, staying up.
I've beaten
Everton. Yeah, that was a real high point, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best game I can remember. That was just, it was something else. Yeah,
the atmosphere was something else.
And even the Chelsea, it wasn't just the night, it was the Chelsea game as well. I think everybody...
That week was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think everyone just, I mean, Allardyce just built a feeling within the club, didn't he? That it didn't matter what our last result was, it didn't matter what was going on off the pitch. We weren't going to go down, and I think everyone just believed that, and I think that filtered down to the players, that filtered through to the fans, and that it was just, I think it was just relief from everyone, wasn't it, that outpouring of joy and relief. And you guys have experienced it a few seasons in a row at that point, but it was being on the pitch at the end of that, knowing obviously what the result meant to other clubs as well.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable, because we obviously walked around filming the players do their sort of lap of honour.
Yeah, when you did that video at the bottom, when it was who was it? Which player was it again? One of the players down, and how deafening the noise sounded. I think it was Kabul, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a close up of him.
He burst into tears.
Yeah, and it just sounded so loud as well. That was amazing.
What's it like? I mean, what's it like going out? I mean, you're doing obviously going on the pitch after every game. Obviously, the way ends as well. You know. I mean, that must be amazing to be in amongst that feeling with the players after the one, and they're so, you know, pumped up. And
yeah. I mean, the Gillingham one, that was one of the first ones.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Yeah, that was the first on the road we did. So that was that. I mean, that.
Well, you did actually. To be fair, you did the. I remember the Burton game last season. Mm-hmm. The Chris, you went out and you kind of did a little bit of that.
Yeah. We, in terms of like this new feature we've got. Like the on the road one, that just came around on just on the spur of the moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that emotion at the end was incredible. And to be fair, just standing there, it's just the best feeling in the world, isn't it? And it's great to see the players reacting to the fans. It's great to see the fans react to the players in that way. and like just feels like every step.
I always just pretend they're there for me.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I have to stop myself from giving them an applause at the end, yeah. clapping them off. But, yeah.
It's a great tweet.
Yeah,
shouting out. Yeah.
Well, that guy who thought Logan Nine was a youth player would probably just assume you were a player. You might get away with it. Now's the time to do it.
Well, you have been
fans might just think you're one of the players.
Everyone thought you were Charlie White, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure how, because he's pretty tall and muscular, and yeah. I'm short and not.
Dumpy.
We'll leave it at that, yeah. Yeah, I did. He actually noticed that before he'd signed as well. So he mentioned it, didn't he, when he came up to do his signing interview. So that was quite a... But stuff like that's great, because automatically we had sort of a... There was a... Not a bond, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But there was a relationship there and you could build on it. It was just funny, to be fair.
Right.
All finished, are we?
How long we got?
We've done 45
minutes. Oh, there you go. That's ideal podcast length, 45 minutes. Thanks,
you've got the other thing as well. There's lots of things at the moment you can listen to from Wise Men Say.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of gone a bit too far, to be honest. We've over-podcasted, if anything. Yeah. Podcasts do well. We've got the first part of the Malcolm Crosby interview out. That's there. And the preview with Andy Dawson. And then also today they came to us. We met... the guys from 4073 and had a nice chat with them.
So was this just all backup because you knew we were going to inevitably...
No, it's out. It's all gone out. So, you know.
Lots of content out there.
We haven't even talked about... It's been a strange week for us. We've done stuff we don't normally do. We've abandoned our routine. I feel a bit uncomfortable.
I think you should probably leave it there. Yeah. What you two get up to in private is none of our business.
I think people do think we live together, like Badil and Skinner. Like on Fantasy Football League or something like that, where there's like fictional flat where they live and sit and watch and talk about football.
Well, the four lads have been tweeting pictures of your dining room out. I don't know if you've done.
Have they really?
They have, yeah. So there you go.
All right. What's the response? What do people say?
We'll not do that. We don't need to do that in our listeners' time. So we'll discuss that later. Thanks to Sam and Oscar for coming along. Long may it continue, because if we go up next season, we lose every week. We'll probably be griefing here and not wanting you to come on.
Yeah, I'll be the first one calling Oscar a nonsense.
You quote retweeting it saying, what the bloody hell's this? Get rid.
Yeah.
SFC admin ain't.
Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.